We continue now with our second installment in Tales of the Baal Shem Tov with regard to Anoshim Pshutim, to simple folk. There was once a drought in Atzilas Kishomim when rain had not fallen for a long time in the days of the Baal Shem Tov. A fast day, a Tainus Tzibur, a public fast was proclaimed, and special prayers were recited in the synagogue. The Baal Shem Tov noticed that among those praying, there was one unlearned man who placed particular emphasis in his recitation of the Shema on the words, V'otzar ha-shamayim v'lo yiyemotar, that God will restrain the heavens, God forbid, and there will be no rain. And as he said these words, he wept and bawled mightily. When the Baal Shem Tov later asked him what his thoughts were while he was reciting those words, the simple man answered, "I was asking God that he squeeze the heavens so that no rain remains above and all will fall upon the earth." The simple man, in not knowing the Pirush HaMilos, the translation of the words, translated Otzar like Atziras Anovim, the squeezing of grapes, that God should squeeze the clouds and squeeze the heavens so that all the rain that there is above fall down below so that the drought finish. And the Baal Shem Tov said that this simple man's prayers and his heartfelt devotion brought about that the prayers of Klal Yisrael were answered, and Gishmei Brocha and blessed rains soon fell. For Hashem, who Yir Levov, who sees into the hearts of individual desires, the service of the heart, and was extremely gratified by this man's simple kavona, although the meaning of the words were confused, since it had come from the very depths of his soul. Another story about Anoshim Pshutim, about simple folk, is the following. There was once a gzeir min hashamayim, a decree issued forth from heaven, Rachmon Litzlan, may God keep us from such decrees, against the Jewish people. The Baal Shem Tov tried with all his might and by all possible means to have the gzeir nullified, to have the decree averted and nullified. But try as he might, he did not succeed. At that time, there lived a simple balagola, a wagon driver, who constantly recited the book of Tehillim, Sefer Tehillim. He would say it 5 times every day. As he was a nish poshut, he did not know that there were certain places where Tehillim should not be recited, and he would recite it in all places. And since he passed streets littered with garbage and refuse, he would recite his Tehillim there as well. The Baal Shem Tov saw that the Tehillim of this individual, who recited it with such simplicity and depth of feeling, was elevated and brought about the aversion of the decree against the Jewish people, because, as the Friedrich Rebbe says in telling this story, because he was an Ish Poshut, he was not held accountable for saying Tehillim in those places which he knew not that Tehillim should not be recited there, and his recitation of Tehillim was said with all his heart. And now a story which is a bit longer, also on the theme of Anoshim Pshutim, of simple folk, and the Baal Shem Tov. And this is a story which I dare say is well known but we'll tell it anyway as it fits into the theme of these stories, and I believe it has not yet been told in this series of Tales of the Baal Shem Tov. It was the time of Yom Kippur, and many, many Talmidim, disciples and Chassidim, followers of the Baal Shem Tov, had gathered to be with the holy Baal Shem on this most awesome and most holy day of the entire year. A tense atmosphere could be felt in the shul, especially in light of the attitude of the Heilige Baal Shem, of the holy Baal Shem Tov, who was of a very, very serious type of mood. Although Yom Kippur generally is serious, but he was extremely, extremely serious, for the Baal Shem Tov had discerned an unfavorable sentence written in heaven for Klal Yisrael. Pouring out his heart to Hashem, the Baal Shem Tov begged that Klal Yisrael be shown divine mercy. And so the Baal Shem Tov prayed incessantly throughout Yom Kippur. And when it came to the final and closing tefillah, the final prayer of Ne'ilah, the closing prayer, he especially prolonged it with more kavanah, with even more divine intentions than before, in the hope of interceding on behalf of the people of Israel that they be granted a good year and that all decrees in heaven be averted. There was a young villager who was present in the congregation among everybody else. This boy was a young man was a simple, illiterate shepherd who, not knowing how to pray, would follow the chazan's every move, moving his lips in rhythm with his voice of the chazan, so that he would repeat as much as possible what he would hear from the shliach tzibur, the congregational leader, whose prayers were recited on behalf of all who were there, as well as assisting those who did not know how to pray, that they would pray along with him. When this shepherd felt the intensity of the Nila prayers and how everybody was praying with all their heart and all their souls and all their might, he too felt that he must add to his prayers. And he too was brokenhearted along with everybody else, and not knowing how to pray on his own, he began to utter those sounds that were familiar to him. The barnyard sounds, sounds of cattle, sounds of wild animals. After all, he was a shepherd. All of a sudden, all the worshippers hear that in the middle of the shul, on the holiest time of Ne'ilah, they seem to be in a barnyard. Sounds are coming around which are strange, foreign, and alien to a shul. People began looking around to see where these sounds were emanating from. And they saw that it was this simple man who was uttering these sounds. They became alarmed. They didn't know what happened with the man all of a sudden uttering such sounds, and they tried to silence him. There were several who even became irate enough that they would have been ready to evict him from the shul. But this person held his own, insisting and telling the people, "I'm praying to Hashem the only way I know how, and I'm good at imitating the sounds of animals." Finally, the shamans came to the rescue of this young man and restored decorum in the shul, telling everyone, "Keep it calm and continue praying." When Nila was over, the whole congregation sensed that the crisis which had been upon them the entire Yom Kippur had passed. For now, the Baal Shem Tov's holy face radiated joy, and he began to express his relief with a very happy song following the Nila prayer. That evening at the meal, the Suda of Mitzoy Yom Kippur, the feast of after Yom Kippur, which in itself is a very great Suda, it's a big mitzvah, as it says, that during this meal one can draw down sustenance for the entire year when it's done in a lavish manner, in a joyous manner. At that meal, the Baal Shem Tov told his followers that he, the Baal Shem Tov, had incurred heavenly wrath by sending people to live in distant villages where they were exposed to ways that were alien to Judaism. For the Baal Shem Tov had, as part of his work as a leader of Klal Yisrael, seen to it that many Jews, as many as possible, should leave cities where they were barely able to eke out a living and move to farms and surrounding areas where it would be possible for them to live in a much more freer manner, and that their sustenance would be readily available. And in fact, the Baal Shem used to send Talmidim to all these places to see to it that the children get a chinuch, that they become educated properly, and that they receive their spiritual nurture. Nevertheless, the fact that they had left the cities was in some way a hindrance to some of these people's spiritual development. And so there was a gzeirah min hashamayim, there was a heavenly decree which was not for that good. And so the entire Yom Kippur, the Baal Shem Tov said, went in battle to try to avert the decree. Finally, at the time of Ni'ilah, when this young man began making his mooing, his braying, his lowing, and his baaing sounds, this young man's voice reached the very, very heavens. It went straight upward before the Kisei HaKovet, and the intent of his words, which were simple in and of itself, the B'nai Shel Olam, Habrachmonas, Master of the Universe, have mercy, penetrated the heavenly throne and caused such satisfaction and pleasure above that all dinim, that all criticisms and all harsh decrees totally dissipated, and we were blessed with a good and a sweet new year. Three more tales on this theme about the powerful prayer of Anoshim Pshutim. The first two are from Chabad Mekudas, from Chabad sources, told by the Friedrich Rebbe. The third is from other Hasidic sources. There was once a terrible decree that was issued in heaven to, God forbid, annihilate the Jews of a certain village. The Baal Shem Tov summoned his two holy companions, Rab Mordechai and Rab Kohos, and together they planned how to possibly nullify this gezeirah, to nullify this decree. The Baal Shem Tov made an aliyah in neshama. He sent his soul soaring heavenwards and learned that it seemed that the decree was beyond repeal. On his way back to earth, the Baal Shem Tov passed many heicholos, many heavenly palaces. One palace in particular stood out from the rest because of the shining light that shimmered and glistened from it. Drawing nearer, the Baal Shem Tov saw that this heichol, that this palace in heaven, belonged to a certain villager, which was created by a certain villager who was accustomed to recite the entire Tehillim five times daily. And it was the letters of Tehillim that gleamed and glowed, illuminating the palace. The Baal Shem Tov traveled to the earthly abode of the villager and asked him, if you knew that your chelik in the Olam Haba, that your portion in the world to come, could be used to save a Jewish village, would you give it up to save them? The man answered in utter simplicity and utter sincerity, if indeed I have a portion in the world to come, I would gladly give it away to save a Jewish settlement. And the decree was immediately abolished. Another tale. The Baal Shem Tov once arranged for the local rabbi to proclaim a public fast day. When the Baal Shem Tov saw that all of his own prayers and fasts, and those of his Talmidim, his disciples, had not succeeded in abolishing a certain sentence issued in heaven against a Jewish settlement, men and women filled the synagogues and lifted their voices in supplication to their Father in heaven. But their fasting and petitions did not suffice to abrogate the sentence that would seal their fate. Suddenly, the Baal Shem Tov exclaimed with a sigh of relief, "Now, thank God, we have finally succeeded." As the Baal Shem Tov sat that evening after the fast in the company of his disciples, the Baal Shem Tov revealed how the crisis had been resolved. There was a certain woman who was seated in the Ezra's Noshim in the women's gallery today, the Baal Shem Tov said, who is the mother of 5 children. And she spoke personally to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to God, in the following manner. She said, "Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, are you not our Father, and are we not your children? When my 5 children cry out to me, my heart goes out to them. You, Father in heaven, have so many children, and all of them are all crying out to you. Have you a heart of stone that you do not listen to them and help them? You must help them," she demanded. "Answer us, Ribbono Shel Olam, answer us." And at that very moment, a call went out from heaven proclaiming, "The decree has been nullified." And finally, the last story for this installment, also on this theme. It was once after Yom Kippur that the Baal Shem Tov ordered his balagola, his wagon driver, Alexei, to harness the horses. The Baal Shem Tov asked several of his closest Talmidim to come along with him on the journey upon which they were about to embark, and they began to travel. When the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim, his disciples, finally reached a tavern in a distant village, the Baal Shem Tov told his wagon driver to stop. Suddenly, the tavern keeper, a Jew, rushed out and cried to the Baal Shem, "I promise to improve my ways. Please, please, have mercy upon me." The Baal Shem Tov calmed him and told him to relate exactly what had happened to him before Yom Kippur. And the man told his tale. "I set out with my family to spend the holy day, the Yom HaKodesh, as Yom Kippur was often called, in a nearby village where we would be able to pray with a quorum, where we could daven with a minyan. All our necessary belongings, including the machzorim and sidurim, the special prayer books for Yom Kippur, were in the wagon. When we had almost arrived, I suddenly realized that I had left my wine and liquor cellar door unlocked. Fearing that some Gentiles would enter and taint the wines and drink up the unguarded liquors, I hurried home by myself to lock the door. The minute I stepped out of the cellar, the local squire greeted me and begged for just one little drink. After I had served him, another person came by, and then another, and I just couldn't refuse them. I finally ran and locked the tavern door and escaped into my house. By then, the sun had already set. I couldn't go to the village for public prayers, and I was obliged to stay home and spend that Yom Kippur by myself without a machzor. I lifted my voice to heaven in tears, saying and imploring God that I was an ignorant man and did not know the tefillahs, the prayers, by heart. I began reciting the Aleph Beis, the letters of the alphabet, and treating God to form from these basic letters all the prayers that were in the machzor, so that I and my family and the Jewish people be blessed with a good year. And so I sat throughout Yom Kippur, bemoaning the misfortune that forced me to spend the holiest day of the year without a minyan and even without a machzor, without the ability to recite the proper prayers. And now, said this simple man to the Baal Shem Tov, now that I see that you have come, I know you will reproach me for my actions. Please, please, have mercy upon me. Tell me what I must do to repent, to do tshuva for my misdeed of my past Yom Kippur experience. When the man finished his careful story, the Baal Shem Tov smiled and gently reassured him. Take heart, rest assured, it has been years since a prayer so pure and so true as yours has ascended to heaven on Yom Kippur and has had such a tremendous effect above.